now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 150 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting site and community at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of TooManyThingsToList.com, and with me I have my at least one co-host. It's Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Welcome.
Well, hello there.
How's it going?
Just ducky, and you?
Oh, goosey. Sorry.
Don't ever say that again.
That was foul, wasn't it?
Yep.
All right.
You better duck, you big chicken.
Yeah.
I'll give you the bird.
And this week, Tanya's out, so she can't groan along with us. And this week we have we're going to be talking a bit about digital distribution, other methods, therefore, and whatnot. I'll see what the actual name of the show is going to be by the time we're done with this. But on the horn, we have a couple of people with us. We have Nikki Smith of Nikki-Smith.com. Welcome to the show.
Hey there.
And we also have Mike Jasper of MichaelJasper.net. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks.
Am I calling you Mike or Michael?
Mike is fine.
Mike, all right. Now, there's one thing in particular that you both work together on, and that is something called In Maps and Legends. Is there a short URL for that?
In Maps and Legends comic.com.
All right, and there you go. Well, I think we should just start off. Give us a pitch for In Maps and Legends.
You want to go ahead, Mike, the writer?
Sure. I'll do the quick pitch. Basically, it's about starts off fairly normal about an artist who, for some reason, is waking up in the middle of the night to work on this map that she's creating in her spare room. And then things gradually get stranger from there. And she's actually carving this map into the wall of her spare bedroom. And as the plot unfolds, things get stranger and stranger. And she essentially becomes engulfed inside of this map. And without giving away too much, it's just basically a bit of a paranormal mystery. With some amazing artwork by Nikki. Mm-hmm.
And,
if you like steampunk, you should also like some of Where We Go with In Maps and Legends.
And you two were involved with Zuda Comics at one point. Now, I wasn't very much into Zuda, partly because of the... We're not going to go into it because it's kind of over with. But can you describe what happened with the whole Zuda experience?
Well, we entered the November competition last year in 2009, and we were one of the 10 monthly competitors that they had.
Okay.
I had just put out a call for some writers, like on Twitter, asking if anyone wanted to collaborate on a story, and Mike had the best idea that I liked. So we teamed up, and for the competition, you just had to do the first 8 pages, and then over the course of the month, the readers would get to vote on which one they wanted to get a contract and continue. Mm-hmm. And we ended up in a tight race, but we managed to squeak by and grab the trophy, I guess.
Can I ask what your main competition was?
It was some underground sewer.
Children of the Sewer.
Yeah.
I can't remember the artist's name right now, but he had kind of a style reminiscent of kind of the 70s horror comics.
Okay.
And he seemed to have a pretty good following. And because it's sort of like American Idol with the voting, you never know who's ahead. I mean, we knew who was ahead, but we didn't know how far ahead we were.
Uh-huh.
So we were constantly looking over our shoulders and stressing ourselves out and checking our numbers and trying to get some kind of clue as to where we were. So it was a stressful November. Glad it's over.
I just want to ask a couple of little things about the whole Zuda experience. Like maybe for like the people that didn't win, did Zuda take any sort of creative rights or say that you can't use this story anywhere else? Or I'm not sure.
If you didn't win, then you were free to continue your comic however you wanted or shop it to other publishers.
Okay.
If you did win, then you were basically given, the prize was the option to sign a contract with DC.
Okay. And so obviously you grabbed the prize. And so can you just kind of go into what that whole experience was, that whole process is? I'm trying not to be like, I'm really interested in what, how it all worked.
Well, as far as the competition goes, it was, you just had to get the word out any way you could. A lot of people used Facebook, Twitter, you know, any means necessary. I know I went through kind of my whole address book of, you know, in Gmail to contact everybody I knew and just be really annoying. And what Zuda's ultimate goal was to drive people to their site, obviously,
right.
And get more eyeballs on the site, get more hits. So, you know, we were doing that promotional work for them and pushing people there and getting them to read, and hopefully they would vote. And then you can make it, you know, a favorite, and there's different kinds of things you can do. You know, I think they also counted how many comments you had on your 8-page preview. So there are different ways to get points, if you want to call it that. And then
for the actual votes, we never knew what the vote count was, just the amount of favorites. So I think at the end we actually had fewer favorites than the guy who was in second place, but apparently we had more votes, which had more weight.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of working 101, really marketing and getting the word out.
And on December 1st, I was convinced we had lost. So when I actually saw, you know, our comic pop up as the winner, I was pretty well flabbergasted. I didn't think we would ever overcome that, so. And I don't think I ever want to do that again. Fortunately, we don't have to, since Zuda has since closed the doors.
Right.
Yeah, everyone seemed to have found out at the same time. We actually launched with Zuda, like the weekly updates, in March, maybe, so a couple months after we won. And then a few months after that, everyone got the email that Zuda was being, had the plug pulled.
So,
and a lot of the, they kept the series that had, I think, the majority of their pages already finished.
Okay.
And, like, the contract was for a 60-page run. And then...
So the contract was it specifically for digital content only? There wasn't like a printed sort of deal in there, or
they did put out print editions of some of the series that were further along. So it was, the contract was for the digital content, with the understanding that there may or may not in the future be a print version.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys ever see a print, or is it just strictly digital?
Of ours, no, because we only had, I think, fewer than 20 pages out when they actually canceled Zuda. So the only ones that have print editions already had a couple hundred pages, book-sized.
Okay. Let's see here. So, and then everything kind of got ported over to Comixology.
Well, not everything.
Oh.
Just a certain group, and nobody really knew exactly what the criteria was, other than, you know, some of their bigger names, such as Bayou, which had won some awards in the industry,
mm-hmm.
and not Full Moon, but High Moon, and some of the other ones that had gotten a lot of buzz went over to Comixology. But then there's others that weren't far enough along, or for whatever reason, it wasn't really ever shared why. Those comics didn't get asked to continue on. So there's a lot of kind of mystery wrapped up in it all, a lot of uncertainty, and we just kind of said, well, let's just do it ourselves then.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask next. It sounded like, I'm trying to find it in the email, but it sounds like you started selling your own ebooks for it.
Right. We basically spent a few months looking into all our options, because a couple other of the cast off Exzuda series decided to do the same thing and publish themselves.
Okay.
And either when Zuda contacted us about closing the program, they said that one thing we could consider was getting in touch with Comixology and publishing it ourselves. So we did that, but Comixology offered two options. We could either publish exclusively through them, or we could take a slightly smaller cut of any income, and we would be free to publish it through any distributor on any app or...
So, like, in addition to being on Comixology.
Right. Because Comixology, yep, at that point was just for iPhone. The iPad wasn't... I don't think it had just come out.
Okay.
So we thought it wasn't really worth it to do exclusive.
Okay.
But by now, they're actually on Android and the web. You can just sign into your browser and read them all there.
So it sounds like once Zuda kind of went by the wayside, the contracts kind of lapsed or expired in that case, and you had to just basically contact Comixology and kind of resell yourself and say, "Well, I did work on Zuda," or was there a little bit more automation in there because it's all owned by the same company? Or
Comixology is a independent distributor. They're not actually owned by DC or anything.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have apps that they've developed for Image Comics and Marvel, DC Comics too. But then on their app, you can read ones by SLG Publishing. There's actually other web comics that are on there too, like PvP is on there.
Oh yeah.
And a couple other web comics.
So they're not really a publisher. They're just more of a distributor.
Distributor.
And we figured we didn't want to limit ourselves to just one distributor.
Right.
You know, it'd just be kind of like selling your book at one bookstore. We decided we'd hit all the major ones, and including we'd even hit some of the smaller ones that we thought might have a good future, or that might offer some special things, you know, special aspects like, you know, something that's just for the droid or things like that.
Right.
So we figure, you know, when you're... however you're reading your comics, maybe it's on screen, on your laptop, maybe it's on your handheld, your droid phone, your iPhone, your iPad. We just figured we'd make it available to, you know, to you however you're used to getting your comics and your books already, versus having to point you to the right place.
Right.
We just wanted to make it available pretty much everywhere, which is more work on our side, but in the end, I think it's more rewarding, and it's a better way to get the name out, get our name out.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so what are some examples of places that you've also submitted for? I'm going to guess it's all digital distribution at this point.
Right.
So, what are some other places other than Comixology that you have tried and then have successfully been listed on for distribution?
Actually, every place we've talked to, they've been really welcoming, and we haven't actually been turned down as far as I know, because, you know, they're happy to host, and, you know, they get their percentage of the of the income, so they're happy to do it. We're also at Graphically, and that is kind of a separate app, but they're also working on, they also have an iPhone, iPad application.
And web.
And a web application that they're just finishing up now, so they're kind of like in the running, I think, with Comixology as far as, you know, giving you the best bang for your buck, and they've got a pretty good marketing scheme going where they, you know, keep people in touch with the creators and get the word out. So Comixology and Graphically are kind of the big ones, but we also just published it ourselves. Just going through Amazon's publishing system for the Kindle, and through Barnes & Noble's Pubit store for the Nook.
And those are actually our biggest sellers as far as we can tell. So
Yeah, the Nook has been kind of crazy because I think there's just not a lot of comics out there on the Nook. And now that the Nook Color just came out the past month, people are just hungry for comics. So they want to throw them onto their Nook. So that's just been a great seller for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had a couple hundred sales on e-readers alone. And we just launched in, you know, a couple months ago. So it's not bad at all.
Well, awesome. And you also have your own site and your own direct ebook, right?
Everything we have now is available through a distributor. We're not actually selling anything physically through our site.
Well, not physically, but like you don't have like on your own website your own ebook you have and your own PayPal. It's all through.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks to. Because people on their Nooks or their Kindles, right. They just access the built-in store, and that's how it's easiest for them to browse and just sort of stumble upon it. If they type in comic, we're going to come up in one of the top searches.
Okay.
How hard we're is also, it to... I'm sorry. How hard is it to... do you have to convert your comic into the Nook or Kindle format?
Yeah. There's quite a few hours of each issue's production goes into formatting into 10 different file sizes and shapes and PDFs.
Are there like special apps that do that, or?
I just use Photoshop Actions.
Yeah.
So it's automated, but still takes a little manipulating.
But
there's not like a special. Nook format. It's just a different file size or shape or something.
Right, they're JPEGs, but then we have to put it into a .epub file.
Uh-huh,
okay.
Which is pretty much a glorified zip, but with a different file ending. It's like a CBZ. You just change the extension, but everything is.
Okay.
Just gonna say for the formats, there's the Nook, which is the EPUB. The Kindle uses something called a Mobi format. But for the most part, most of the store is just like a high res PDF, which is the easiest to do. But there is a good bit of formatting that we have to do behind the scenes that we've kind of gotten down to a science that Nikki and I both kind of collaborate on. But it's a bit of a headache.
Huh. Well, I was wondering how hard that is to do, because I can imagine there's a lot of webcomicers out there and comic creators who'd love to get onto the Nook or the Kindle or something like that.
Once you've figured out the specific sizes, then it's pretty simple to go from there. Alex DeCampi, actually, she released her comic Valentine, I think last year is when she released the first issue. And she was blogging about her entire process, which was immensely helpful for me when I was trying to figure out the file sizes for the various Kindle or EPUB editions and what would fit the screen best without any scrolling or anything being cut off. And so I've tried to do the same in a few forums that I visit. I've been blogging about my process and which sizes, and so anyone who wants to do the same thing can...
There's a tutorial we could all use.
I think we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more in general as far as the average webcomicer that may be interested in something like this. But for right now, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, more.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network. A webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922.
Well, the Nook and the Kindle, they're both black and white, aren't they? Or are they? Have they moved to color yet?
Well, the funny thing is, the Kindle is still black and white. But, you know, you can get probably 5 or 6 different Kindle applications. So you can run the Kindle app on your cell phone, on your iPhone. You can run the Kindle on your computer screen. And when you run the Kindle app, it's in color. And then same thing for the Nook. They've got like 5 or 6 different apps you can run. And, you know, on the original Nook, it's still going to be black and white because that's all they were able to display. But, you know, on the different apps, it'll be in color. And then, of course, the Nook color will have it in full color. So it's just like things are just still evolving and still changing. And, you know, we just wanted to, like, throw ourselves out there and throw our books out there to every possible medium and just see what shakes out. Mm-hmm. You know, see which ones people choose.
I should put that crappy Robin book on the Nook or something. Or
<He's so laughs>
try to sell it that way. But
see,
interesting.
We're back, by the way. And
hello.
On one of our last newscasts, we brought up. I forget who it was. I have to check the website for it. We talked about. Let's see here. The Adjusted is the name of the comic. They basically self-made their own. They designed their site, or they have a download in such a. It's they. I think they designed their site in such a way that you could view it from any sort of online capable device. And I think it is an actual pay site, so you'd still have to pay them to log in, but, you know, they don't go through the App Store, they don't go through any particular sort of distribution where anybody else would get a cut. However, in that case, of course, the promotion, the how they can get out there is all on them. It's not like you can't show up, you know, randomly in one of the, like, you know, like Comixology, where people, oh, hey, look, or I want to look up horror comics. It's like, oh, there it is. And I'm certainly that is one advantage to going to signing up with, especially a popular digital distribution site. You know, because the argument would be, well, why can't I just do it myself? I can make a website. I can put it on my site. It's kind of like, you know, the webcomic list sites where you're pretty much not going to get a whole lot of traffic through signing up on, you know, a list site in particular. But the fact that if you put your name on there, people could come across it. Or if they type something up, you know, it could return more Google hits because it's listed in more places when it searches for that word and phrase. This is all theory on my part. I'm guessing this. And since Nikki and Mike have actually been doing this, do I sound like I know what I'm talking about? Does that make kind of sense?
Yeah.
Definitely gotten quite a bit of attention just by being part of, like, we signed up for, or we are also distributed through a site called Drive-Thru Comics.
Okay.
And yeah, they release PDFs. A Girl Genius actually releases their issues through there too, and they're one of the top sellers.
Right.
But we recently cracked like the top 15 sellers list.
Ooh.
So we're constantly listed on the right hand bar of the page. Like, our title is there for anyone to just sort of see.
That certainly does help.
Get mentioned in their mailing lists, mm-hmm, whenever, like their monthly mailing lists, whenever we have a release. And we get a lot of clicks that way, just because they're advertising us because they want to make sales, but it gets sales for our particular titles, which is great.
Right.
Like, without us actually doing the marketing.
No.
And then,
go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say, and then also I was looking at the Adjusted, that comics website, and it seems like there's a level of technical know-how. You know, it's almost like they're designing their own application, their own iPhone app, which is a level of, you know, programming knowledge that most webcomicers aren't going to have.
Right.
You know, but it looks like their basic file structure is a PDF, which is kind of becoming, you know, the coin of the realm for a lot of the various distributors out there. As long as you have a high-res PDF, you're good to go.
Right.
And then if anything you add to it is just, you know, nice little bells and whistles and so forth. But once you get in with a good distributor, and, you know, if you're cooperative and, you know, nice and, you know, timely with your next comic, you know, I think they appreciate that, and they tend to, you know, give you a little push. You know, they'll tweet about your comic here and there, and right. you know, make you a pick of the week, like Drive Through Comics did recently. Just, you know, little things like that that really help. And, you know, we only charge 99 cents an issue for ours, so you know, you take a percentage out of that to the distributor, and we're not making a whole lot of money.
Right.
But in time, it kind of adds up. You know, so it's very small steps, but it's kind of like a brave new world. It's kind of exciting to see, you know, what's going to happen next, because we don't know.
Right. I mean, even with you know, like PvP and like other, I would say, high traffic, well known sites, they still will be on like these other digital distributions. So, like on their site, you know, you could buy the physical book, or you can download a high res PDF, which can range usually between $2 to $5, depending on page size, I suppose, and extra content. So it's certainly, you know, just because you're a big name doesn't mean that it's not, you know, because there's not everyone reads PvP. Not everyone may be reading webcomics, and they might just stumble across it, of course. And I think that's that non-exclusivity, which, I mean, okay, like, looking back, I'm going to go on a limb and guess that it's probably a really good idea you didn't go exclusive with Comixology.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Definitely.
And since you were on Zuda before, and you had won on Zuda before, do you think that gave you an edge when submitting your comic to these other digital distribution sites? Because I'm not sure how easy it might be for other people that may not have, like, you know, like a feather in their cap, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do think having, you know, to be able to name drop Zuda helped us a lot. And we also moved pretty quickly, you know, after we learned Zuda was no longer going to be publishing, mm-hmm. and they shut their site down. We moved within a week or two to start contacting not just Comixology, but Graphically, Longbox, Robot Comics, pretty much anyone that we could think of that would, you know, distribute a digital comic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because they had read the news, they had heard the buzz about, you know, Zuda, because that was something I think a lot of people were tracking.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, owned by DC Comics, so if you can name drop Zuda and DC Comics in the same breath, I think that helps a lot.
Yeah.
So, and we moved, you know, fairly quickly on that, and I think they're sympathetic to our plight. You know, we said we've only gotten a couple issues up, and they killed it. So
they killed it.
So that, you know, you got a couple sympathy votes there, and I think that helped as well.
Sympathy. Are there any of these these people that you've worked with, do you think does any one of them feel like they might be a little bit more open to maybe a comic they've never heard about before? Like, not, I don't want to say the little guys, but like more like is there a lot of chance taking that they might be taking with relatively unknown comics that might be out there?
Drive-Thru Comics seems to be really open to just about anyone who wants to release something through them. So I would consider them first. Graphically also recently added a couple more webcomics that mm-hmm. Mike and I follow. One called Nathan Sari just has its first issue released on there.
Yeah.
It's probably digital distribution with some of these probably works better because you're selling issues or, you know, books, so it may not work as well for gag of the day strips.
Right. Because it's whole sections at a time versus probably
a couple of more gag strips or less long story form comics, at least, have just made their own apps because they can set it up so if you get the free app and you get access to, say, the last 30 days worth of strips, only if you want to access the archives or a book worth of archives, then you pay a dollar or two. Like, I think Cyanide and Happiness does that.
Oh, God.
Or Control Update. I was just Googling a little to see which ones had apps out there.
I hate those guys.
Top ones that I found.
And they have a fucking app. Ugh. It's like, that's the only comic I publicly say that I absolutely despise.
I don't actually read it, so I can't comment.
Yeah, that's fine. That just pisses me off more that they have an app.
It's like their evil has spread even further. Is that what you're saying?
It's like they're trying to piss me off, but they have no idea who I am. Because, you know, it's like thinking back to, like, you know, Scott McCloud talking about, you know, before webcomics or when webcomics were getting started and micropayments and all that sort of stuff. And now PayPal actually introduced micropayments, so I'm sure he's been grinning a bit about that. But it seems like we're kind of getting over the give it all away for free sort of thing. Because I know when webcomics were really starting to pick up, it hit that, you know, it had its beginners and then it had the big punch where everybody and their grandma was making a webcomic. And it used to be, it's like you don't have a paywall. And I think a paywall still will hurt a lot. But a lot of people now, like on your site, you know, like I think you can read like the first chapter or two on...
Right, we have a free preview that anyone can access.
Which is why I have you on, because I have a no paywall rule. There has to be at least some readable free content for it to have an appearance on the show.
Well, we're happy to be here then.
Hooray! But you know, I've noticed that a lot more often where you'll see the first couple, and if you want more, then you pay and you buy, you download, or there might be like a subscription. Like a lot of people do subscription walls where you can see like the start reading ahead. And mm-hmm. And I think that works, because it's like, well, yeah, if you read the first couple of chapters, it's like you should know whether or not you're going to like it to continue on, especially if it's a story format versus the, you know, gag a day, non-connected story sort of, you know, it's different. The market will behave differently with the type of storytelling or not that a comic will have. Do you agree with this?
I do completely, because with ours it's more like you're buying issues of a comic. It just happens to be in digital form. You're actually downloading a PDF to your computer or to your phone, so you will have access to that. It's not like you're paying a monthly fee to access it, and then you won't have access after that is over, even after you've read it.
Right. And I think we're having a return to that. That's, people are becoming more comfortable with, yeah, I'll buy that, versus, no, everything should be free. Grr, grr, grr. I want things for free. I don't know. I just, you know, I know this is coming, and it's becoming more and more popular. So,
and I think, too, with some of the digital comics and ours, for example, I think we might be hitting a slightly different audience as well. Like, I think there's overlap between the webcomic reader and the digital comic reader.
Right.
But I think it's also reaching out to a new audience, people who've got their shiny new phone, their shiny new Nook, their shiny new iPad, whatever, and they're looking to fill it with stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, the iPad especially, I think, has such a fun interface. You know, you've got this big screen and you've got the color popping out at you.
Mm-hmm.
So people are, you know, they're kind of hungry to fill it up with stuff, and, you know, places like Comixology and Graphically, you know, make it really easy to get to it and read it. And, you know, someone who might, like me, for example, I mean, I used to really read comics a lot, and then I kind of got out of it for a while, and now I'm kind of coming back into it. And it's all digital and web comics now versus print comics. So it's, you know, you might hit someone who used to be a fan or someone who's been curious about comics, you know, maybe seen some movies related to comics, and, you know, they give it a try. So I think it's reaching out to a new audience, which I think is really cool.
Right. And, oh, you know what? You know what happened with me? I have a smartphone, and when I bought it, it was only like on Android 1.5. And I've only recently updated it to like 2.1 or whatever, the most Froyo or whatever. Eclair. It's Eclair, whatever. And I was prevented from downloading certain apps, like the Skype app I couldn't get until I had 2.0+, and now I can get the Amazon Kindle app for it. I think
there you go.
So I have a strong feeling I'm going to be using my credit card a little bit more often now.
Definitely a temptation when you've got it there.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, when I first got this phone, I was like, what apps can I put onto it? And then when I heard about Kindle going like multi-format, it's like, ooh. And then I looked, no, wrong format. I don't have to have like 1.5. So damn it, now I'm going to be spending money on comics. Awesome. Yeah, that's why
there's
one of the
great ones out there. I think a couple actually manga publishers in America have just released Kindle and ebook versions of licensed manga even. So they work better on, say, the black and white e-readers that are still.
Yeah. My poor bank account. Damn it. I didn't even. Oh, man. Yeah, it'll be interesting to track this progress, and it's partly why I was like, I mean, originally, Nikki, you sent me a cover art, which we'll use for this episode, and mm-hmm. then I started looking at your site. It's like, I see this episode here. We can talk about this stuff because it's coming. It's here, and it's gonna. I think it's just gonna explode over the next year.
Yeah,
next really, 6 months even.
It's great to be a part of it. Like, more and more people are just casually reading comics because they can grab them on their phone and read them on the train or something.
Absolutely.
Or the plane.
I'm hoping to see a lot of iPads and Nooks under people's Christmas trees this year. And then we'd be looking to fill them up.
That's a great way to think of it.
Let's see here. I've been trying to check the chat room, Mark. I don't know if the chat room's been working for you, if there's any questions from people that have been listening.
I don't see any questions yet. I don't see any. There may be some there.
Yeah, the chat room has been wonky for me lately, but if anybody does have any questions about, you know, what we've been talking about on this show, or I guess past shows or coming shows, you can always email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And I'm going to be looking into some sort of incentives for feedback and questions. Of course, you can also call 1-320-310-0922 and leave a voicemail. At this point in time, I think we've covered a good deal here. Is there anything that we have? There's anything else that you, Nikki, or Mike would like to say?
I think that's about it for me.
As for me, just thanks for, you know, giving us the opportunity to chat. And even though, you know, we're not technically a web comic, you know, we're more of a digital comic. It's mm-hmm. it's good to kind of chat with folks on both sides of the fence, because I feel like things are kind of starting to come together and almost merge in a way.
Or at least to gray that line a bit.
Especially the Comixology, having the web reader you just sort of sign into and you have access to anything you've bought on your iPhone or your iPad.
It's been one thing that I had been seriously thinking about for the Webcomic Beacon. I started off and first started the show 3 years ago. I was always like, it's going to be webcomics. Just webcomics. Webcomics. but, you know, that line is starting to blur. And you know, so I was like, as long as it's digitally available. And it's like, you know what? And then there's other people that, other art stuff, non-web stuff, artists and writers can easily use and look into. So it's like I'm coming to the realization that it's like you don't have to just stick to one thing, because there's so much opportunity for people out there. So
yeah, I'd be happy to send you the link to where I was blogging about file sizes and all that.
Yeah, send any links, go ahead and email it to me, and I'll make sure it gets in the show notes, as well as all those digital distributor. Why can't I say that? Those distributors that I'll try to get all those linked in the show notes as well, so people can take a look at that. Mike, Nikki, I want to thank you both very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, you can find Nikki at nikki-smith.com, Mike at Michael. Shoot, I just had it. MichaelJasper.net.
Got it.
And of course, their comic at InMapsAndLegendsComic.com.
That's it.
All right. Thank you both very much. We're going to take our final break here. When we come back, we'll go over some news and some emails that we had, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yay!
I know know it's kind of meta for me to write a song by writing Christmas songs, but bear with me if you could. All you need to do is start with All I Want for Christmas and then add something weird and then you should be good. I know to write this way is very formula, but the thing about formula is that it usually works. It's guaranteed success, and after hearing this, you should all follow suit, and then we'll all enjoy the perks. All I want for Christmas is a bag of explosive kittens. All I want for Christmas is a pair of living mittens. All I want for Christmas is a microwave noogie. All I want for Christmas is a big expensive cookie. All I want for Christmas is a bumblebee toupee. All I want for Christmas is a cast iron souffle. All I want for Christmas is a Paul F. Tompkins mask. All I want for Christmas is some Kool-Aid in my flask. Yeah, I know I'm totally cheating when it comes to comedy, because anyone can do this and it isn't even challenging. But I've been writing holiday songs every single year for the past 11 years, and they really can't all be jibs. I want you all to just relax, suspend your reservations that I may or may not be taking the easiest route. I'm saying unlikely words following All I Want for Christmas, and I'd like you all to please accept that that's what this song's about. All I want for Christmas is a razor burn parade. All I want for Christmas is a glass of melonade. All I want for Christmas is a regional dialect. All I want for Christmas is a lycanthrope architect. All I want for Christmas is a healthcare public option. All I want for Christmas is to have some earlobe work done. All I want for Christmas is an iPod taste. All I want for Christmas is the entire Carinian race. I know I'm gonna get hammered by you armchair critics, but remember that's ignoring the entire spirit of Christmas. If you can't let yourself enjoy some stupid white boy rhymes, then I feel bad for you that you're too smart to have a good time. Life is full of stress and such, so let this be an exception. Laugh at my goofy words instead of typing a rejection. Have a happy holiday from TV's Kyle to you. While on your way to Grandma's house, you should make up a few. All I want for Christmas is the Alvin Show on Blu-ray. All I want for Christmas is my very own Captain Janeway. All I want for Christmas is a polyester lotus tree. All I want for Christmas is for Paul and Storm to notice me. All I want for Christmas is a roadkill hoagie. All I want for Christmas is a vintage floby. All I want for Christmas is a year of good hair days. All I want for Christmas is some radio airplay.
That was All I Want for Christmas is Stuff from TV's Kyle at The Funny Music Project at thefump.com. Well, we're out of Tanya this week. Oh, well. So anyway, we have... hang on, let me try to start this. It's subdued because without Tanya, the Tree Lobster says...
Boobs!
Boobs!
Hey, I feel better.
Nah. We got a couple of things. We've got a couple of things to talk about, or at least bring up on the show here, and a little bit. So it'll be kind of a little bit of a shorter episode. But first, I'm going to go over milestones. Well, first off, I do want to say that before we get to milestones, the Webcomic Beacon is brought to you in part by the Rampage Network. Skype's giving me a warning. High sound coming from the speakers. yeah, I had a work meeting the other day, and we were supposed to go over all this, like this information, and there's this packet we got, which is basically, you look at it, okay, somebody just printed off their PowerPoint.
I hate that so much.
Well, we're supposed to go over it, of course, because we're supposed to, and the boss didn't really want to do it. It's like, I'll read it, so I'm reading it like... a particular sort of announcer of this and that. And there's a lot of, like, those terrible, like, office puns. it's like, one's about slips and falls, and something about, you know, poor safety, don't fall for it. It's like, God.
Da-dun-dun-tsh.
Yeah. So it's like, here, I'm going to read something from my annual insurance enrollment packet, and pretty much how in the way that I was explaining, basically going over the packet, it's like, I have no idea what this says. This is your time to confirm or elect benefits that you or your eligible dependents would like to participate for 2011. The company name, edited out here, offers a range of benefits and programs to help support you and your family when it comes to your health, well-being, security, and future. This 2011 How to Enroll brochure is designed to highlight what's new this year, remind you of some tools and resources to help you learn more, and to show you how to choose smart during the annual enrollment process. And that's basically what I did for about like 10 minutes going through this. I just would speak this sort of like a really weird infomercial pitch or whatever. It was fun. It was really fun. But we do have...
My workplace has no sense of humor, so if I did that, I'd probably get in trouble.
Oh.
You're not taking this material seriously.
Seriously? I take everything seriously. This is my serious face.
I hate corporate America. But anyway.
Anyway, we have a few milestones.
This week, we
have Troops of Doom at troopsofdoomcomic.com. It's reached 300 episodes. Congratulations.
Troops of Doom.
We also have Shrub Lobsters, treelobsters.com for some reason. Actually, you know what? He doesn't even give me the URL. Okay, yeah. He had 2 years for Tree Lobsters at treelobsters.com. And here's the rule. If you're going to send me an email, be sure you put your URL in there, because it's a lot easier for, like, when I up and just, okay, now I got to go find where it is. And we also have Retail Gods at retailgods.net. It has turned 1 year. So congratulations to all those who have hit an important milestone. You can email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Coming down the pike, we have a couple of interesting shows coming up in February. On February, I think, 6th or 7th, we are going to have a Lovecraftian comic episode. And we'll have Robin Seale, who does The Watcher of Yathogu, on. And so we're also going to be gearing up looking for other Lovecraftian Cthulhu sort of webcomics out there, and be sure to get those mentioned. It's kind of going to be like an excuse to talk about Lovecraft, but actually have comics to talk about as well.
Hey, all right.
Chibudikin is going to be on for that, because
yay.
She is, you know, I mean, she had a thing called Cthulhu Coffee for a while that she ran at a convention. So she is going to be geeking out about that. So that
I think that's a good idea for a mail order business right there. Make Cthulhu Coffee and sell it. I bet it would work.
Absolutely.
Note
to self. We also have, if anybody, I'm going to be trying to schedule more particular genre comic episodes in the future. Try to get those scheduled out in the far future if I can here and there. Some will be a little bit more difficult than others. Also, be sure to listen to, we also been doing, you know, EP episodes, trope casts, and newscasts. So I'd like to hear what people think about those. They are restricted basically to 30 minutes. Each type is restricted to 30 minutes. The trope casts, you know, the point is to stay on topic without tangenting as much as possible, as difficult as it is for tropes.
Stay on topic. Stay on topic. They came from behind. What a geek moment there.
Oh, really? What else we got going on here? Yeah, I don't know if on the third anniversary show, I kind of mentioned a lot of this already. Of course, going to PangoCon is going to be really exciting. And I would like to try to do a room party. It doesn't sound like I can get a suite, so any room party would probably be within a room. But I'm hoping that I can do this and get some alcohol and hopefully come up with some fun.
I think you should get a separate room for that in case they make a mesh.
Just I don't
be
think
expensive
I'd,
either way. But
yeah, that's the thing. I think I'd rather try to spend more money on the alcohol.
Well, naturally, but
so yeah. If anybody would like to help us out by basically drawing, basically buying sponsorships for the Webcomic Beacon, And honestly, if I don't have a sponsorship for, like, the show that I'm doing as I'm recording it, there's still a chance to, like, sponsor that show. Just get me after the show. I say, I want to sponsor that episode that you just did that had no sponsor. So, and then I'll do it. You can also sponsor EPs and newscasts for only $10. decided to throw that in there. And basically all this money is that I'd be collecting this for would be going towards buying alcohol for the party. And if you donate or buy enough ads to be at least $50, we'll make a custom drink based off of the name of your comic for people to try at the room party during PenguinCon. That is the going theory of how this is all going to work.
Gosh, what would be in an autumn lake? Toxic waste these days, no. Probably.
Leaves and silt.
Leaves and silt. Fish crap. And no life, because no one reads it. Tourists leaving their wrappers and stuff laying around.
All right. So, trying to think. If there's something else. I'm basically stalling because there's some of the things that I wanted to look for or at least mention on the show. Oh, yes. If anybody has Becky Beacon art that we can use for our covers, you can also email us that as well. If you go to our website, there's a particular
fan and guest art.
I had a thing. Where did I put it?
It's under fan and guest art.
Oh, no. It's under contribute. That's a new... I put that up there. If you go to webcomicbeacon.com/contribute, presently at the top, cover art featuring Becky Beacon, there's some information about it. Basically, we do a 250 tall by 300 wide is the ratio, though I would prefer something bigger than that so I can move things around and crop it if I need to for the image, for all the text that I need to put on there. So the actual visual space becomes very very horizontal. But
are we low on Becky art, are we?
We're not entirely low, but I would like to try to do the whole year of the core show with me not using one of my own arts for it.
I don't want to draw my own stuff.
Well, I've just been using a stock Becky image for the last year. And
I see.
And right now the EP is basically using the stock Becky image because I like it. It's cute and
it's Becky. Yeah. Becky Beacon.
And of course, with that comes with like a credit on the image itself, as well as a link on the post that it's used on, and of course goes up into our art section, which has the unadulterated art without all the text all over it. And like I said, on the third anniversary, it's been great. All this art is awesome, and I'm glad it's working out like that. So if people are interested, we'd love to have your art. There are very little rules related to it, to utilizing Becky.
Well, she can't be naked, for one thing.
If you're going to be doing something a little bit more risky or suggestive, then you should ask me so I can tell you how she'd react or feel or whether or not that'd not be allowed or whatever, but in general, there's pretty much no rule.
No hentai Becky.
Very few rules.
Hentai Becky.
Well, we had one of her. She's all wrapped up in a vinyl outfit with a yaoi paddle, and with PenguinCon's penguin in bondage. It's not like terrible. It's tastefully done, I'll say. So that goes out the window. There's that's as close to hentai as we have. But anyway, so that is pretty much it for this week of the Webcomic Beacon podcast.
Show next week, right?
No show next week.
No show next week as we prepare for Santa.
Well, there is a show next week, and I'm just going to put up something. But there'll be no live show. I'm going to be putting something up. I have a couple. I have Terry. I have Lee and Lisa from Godseeker that I pre-recorded as working as a team, and I also have Lemo and Eric who are working as a team for Blanket, which is presently on hiatus because Lem got a new job and everything, so he has to figure all that out. And so
we'll have a couple stocking stuffers under the tree.
Yep. So there'll be an EP out on the 26th or the 27th that'll just be available for download. There might be a couple other people I might get on as well, but it's sounding like I'm not going to be able to have them. So so there'll be something here, but there will be no live show next week. So that is all for this week of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. I've been Fess the whole time, unfortunately. I'm sorry. At fessworks.com.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
It's a Technicolor Christmas when you're Jewish because the movie houses never close.
Okay.
Just saying. That's an old Stan Freberg song. Just saying.
Okay. I was doing the sign-ups, actually.
Yeah, I know. And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
All right. Thanks to everyone who stopped by this week. We won't see you next week, but have a safe and happy holiday season. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Boxing Day. And all whatever happens during December. All right. Bye.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.
Oh, read my comic.